Lockdown Slimming World podcast continues. Today we are talking Target, the myths around Target. Well, the myths for me anyway. Anna seems to know a little bit more. Tell us three things that you're going to tell us about on this episode, Anna.
How to maintain your weight for the rest of your life, how not to be hungry, and how to feel good in the new you.
And we're also going to tell you about a very exciting live listeners question episode that we are going to be recording next week and how you can come and join us and watch us record it. God knows what on earth they're going to see.
The poor things. If they could see us now, that's all I'm saying.
Anna, what are you wearing today? Which pyjama set is this that you're gracing us with?
I've got navy floral bottoms and a white v-neck tee. Yeah.
I've kind of got like an old t-shirt. I've got a nice fleece though and some really, really baggy yoga trousers. That's what bank holidays are about, isn't it? When you just want to feel a bit cozy.
Free, like, you know, you don't want too much structure in any clothing. Minimal underwear, do you know what I mean? For a woman, like a kind of light sports bra. They don't always do. Like, they don't really change it up, do they?
No, I suppose not. But then I also think, like, bank holiday, which I guess if you listen to this episode and it's not bank holiday, it's going to seem a bit weird, but there are lots of bank holidays. Especially ones in summer, okay? And it feels like Easter. It's the first time this year that the sun has come out. And for me, I've got to be honest, a couple of years ago, this would be the worst time of the year. It's the first time in the year where you have to get your arms out and get your white, chunky thighs out. You know what I mean? I would just be dreading
it. And are you now?
I'm not.
That's brilliant.
Weirdly... Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm not kind of going out wearing strappy dresses or anything like that, but I don't have that same kind of paranoia that I used to have, you know, where you kind of do stand and sit in weird positions so that your arms don't squash together and look fatter. You don't get the toilet thighs, as I used to call them.
What's a toilet when you sat down.
Well, when you sit down on the toilet, your thighs spread out, don't they? So then when you sit down on a garden patio chair... When you were with a, you know, with your friends at a party, they could see your toilet thighs. And
isn't it interesting? Because my weight is sat around my tummy, so my thighs are really thin. But I think about the roll and the position of a cushion I might have to use. I've never had a toilet thigh though. Well, I'm going to go to the loo and look at my thighs later. I feel like you may have brought something new into my life, but I feel like I've got a sausage tummy. So yeah, isn't it interesting? Toilet thighs, sausage tummy.
Yeah,
no, when the sun comes out, that used to be my biggest fear. Like, I used to call it chub rub, you know, your inner thighs rubbing together. That kind of just not wanting to get your skin out because you were worried about your wobbly bits. It's a nice freedom.
It feels like summer is on its way. And it's obviously like a really weird time because we're recording this podcast rather strangely 2 days before we release it to the world, which the last few episodes we've kind of recorded almost a month
that
in advance.
Was
so
thinking. Yeah,
we've caught up
was
with ourselves
thinking
now.
Of us though, wasn't it? It's like we knew lockdown was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really bizarre, this situation. It's really bizarre how life has become about online video calls for me. Do you know what I mean? It's amazing.
Yeah. You never felt so connected whilst wearing your pyjamas.
You see, I'm not the one that... I can't normally wear my pyjamas in my conference calls, can I? Because I'm trying to be professional, but I'm letting it all flow tonight.
I've been doing that for nearly 2 years, Anna.
I think this could be the way forward. I really do. Yeah. But I can't wait to see actual people. Yeah.
It's very, very true. It, yeah. It's a strange circumstance. So if you're kind of listening to this out of sync, where we are at right now, we must have been in lockdown now for at least 2 weeks. You know, UK government, if you're listening outside of the UK, has basically told us to stay home. Anna, you're one of the vulnerable people, aren't you? So you've got to stay in even longer than the rest of the world.
I got a text from the government yesterday that said, seeing as you're so highly vulnerable and at risk of death, we would ask you to shield yourself for the next 12 weeks. Yeah, made me feel great about life. 12. So it was 12 weeks from lockdown. Wow. So it's coming up to 3 weeks. So yeah, it'd be the end of June that I can go out.
But you're rather excited about what your government food parcel, emergency food parcel,
I'm
may consist of.
A well-known meat thing in a tin. But, you know, that's not come to fruition. I could be waiting till the middle of June for that. Yeah, no, I'm excited to see what I get in the shielded package. Because this staying in and not even going for a walk, I'd better get a good tin of canned meat in there. That's what I'm thinking. Every cloud.
Yeah. Well, look, if you're listening to this podcast because you want to hear about weight loss, about Slimming World, then that's absolutely cool. And we just want to kind of say, we're obviously referencing that the coronavirus global lockdown is happening, but we don't really want to get into the ins and the outs of that on this podcast. Actually, we want this to be a safe space that if you just want to switch off and you don't want to hear about the news, you don't want to talk about the C word, then from now on, we're not going to mention it. We've just referenced that it is happening. And so far, both of us are reasonably healthy. You're kind of coming through about.
All right, we're hanging on in there, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And slowly staying sane. But
can
Easter
I just interrupt
is this
you?
Weekend.
Slowly staying sane. I don't think I've ever been sane, darling. That's quite a bold statement there. Yeah.
That's a different episode. Yeah. But Easter is this weekend. And I think this time last year, I had the same conversation with you about how Easter, for me, is so difficult. The chocolate. It's, you know, it's not about presents or alcohol or seeing family. For me, Easter has been about one thing, and that is chocolate. I'm not particularly religious, but that's just my experience of it. And I remember had like a flashback the other day where when I was a teenager, I'm pretty certain I had something like 15 to 20 Easter eggs given to me on Easter Sunday, and I ate them all within a couple of days. And as well, I've talked about my cream egg stories where I ate 20 something in one day, 48 in 2 weeks. I mean, like, chocolate is a demon for me. So I really have found this week quite difficult in resisting
but almost
the Easter
you're
eggs.
You're vegan now, so that you can't get many vegan Easter eggs or get them that readily, can you? Oh, can you?
You can now.
And
once
you know
where,
to,
look.
Oh, really?
It's deadly. Well, you can't. I mean, an addict will source what they need from any corner of the supermarket. In some way, they will find it. Like, we will sniff that chocolate down.
And you have
if
one.
It's there. And oh, my. There's more than one. There's several. There's three flavours of my favourite one. And then another two different types when I go to, like, you know, a big supermarket down the road. It's deadly. So, you know, the struggle is real when it comes to Easter as a holiday. If you are one of those people who's feeling me now, whew, power through. If you listen to this, it means that you've
got
through
the other side. Yeah, but
you've
done something really clever, Claire. You've allowed yourself that egg. You've worked it in. You know that you're going to sit and enjoy it. And there's no guilt attached to it. I think you've done it brilliantly.
Yeah. I just know I've had a bit more chocolate than I thought. I mean, it's like Matt is staying here with me at the moment, and he knows exactly how much chocolate there is. And like there was four dates on the side, and he went to have a date earlier, and I'd eaten another one of them, and he was laughing at me because he said he noticed that I'd had a date. Yeah, I'm saying to him that I'm trying to be good, but then I'm secretly eating
it's
a
worst
stash
thing
of
could
dates.
Be eating, Claire.
So, oh yeah, I eat them too, but you know, That's the problem that being a lockdown
really tough,
does
isn't it?
to you.
Really, really tough, especially this time of year because of all the chocolate as well. It's really hard.
So the other thing that we want to tell you before we get into talking about, you know, reaching targets, Slim for Life, that kind of stuff. We just want to give you a heads up because many of you right now are going to be in such different places. You know, you're going to have kids. You're not going to have kids. You're going to be in work. You're going to be out of work. You're going to be away from family. You're going to be stuck with family. So we've decided to do listeners' questions a week early. So we're going to do it for our next episode. But we asked you a question on our Instagram. We're over there at Slimming World Podcast. And we asked people to say, what would help you right now stay on track? And one of the things that came up again and again and again was that you want to feel like you're part of it and that you want us to do more live things. So, you know, we've got to work it out logistically of how both me and Anna can kind of do it. We think we're going to use Zoom as a way to do that. But next week, we are going to record Listener's Question the night before we release the episode. It's on Sunday night. We're going to do it at 8:30 in the evening. And we are going to open up 100 spaces for you guys to come and watch. And so the way we're going to do it is the first 100 people who email us to this address, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, and just put in the subject title, live listeners questions. The first 100 people who send that to, and we're just going to have to be fair and do it first come, first serve, you will get sent the meeting link the night before, so next weekend, and you could come and watch us and join in and maybe even ask your question live. So very exciting. But we thought that that's something that we might be able to help you feel like you're part of this. If you're not able to make next Sunday or you miss out on getting that live link, then just send us your question via Instagram or email in the usual ways. And we've already been collecting a few of those questions. There certainly seems to be a few themes, but we, Anna, we did have an idea about
we
dress
did.
Code.
We really
we?
Did. Leopard. It's got to be in it. It's got to be a leopard print somewhere. Whether it's a headband, whether it's a little top, whether it's a, I don't know, a nail varnish, a signature eyeliner. I don't know. There's got to be leopard print in there somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah, we're never going to publish the video. We're not going to be taking photos of anyone as we do Zoom. It's just purely so that you all feel like you're connected to us with a little bit of leopard. And for our ego boost, that when we click gallery view on the Zoom, that we can see you all in your leopard.
Do you know
that
what? If you haven't done Zoom
smile.
Already as well, guys, it is so much fun because we're running the groups virtually through it and we're having the best time. It's so nice to connect, isn't it? And just see other faces apart from the ones that you're kind of living with. So, yeah, I hope you'll enjoy it and have a little insight into how we make this.
Yeah. So let's crack on with today's. So today's is all about looking around some of the myths about reaching targets. What does it entail when you switch in the Slimming World plan? And then also, if you're not someone who's at target, but perhaps you just want to take your foot off the gas a little bit and just maintain where you are, you know, getting through this lockdown stuff, having to maintain would actually be an achievement for you, then this could also be useful for you to know about too. And I think also a screenshot, a load of comments, Anna, from people who've sent us messages in recent months who are either at target, who have just reached target, or they're a little bit like me and are kind of imagining what on earth is this mystical place that people call target. Alison sent a message to us. She's working her way through the podcasts, really helpful for her at the moment. And she said she found it reassuring to hear about my story because I haven't got to target in 8 years. For her, it's been almost 6 years. Thought I was the only one, 11 pound to go. So, you know, it's nice to know that other people are in the same position. Curly sent us a message talking about the fact that she's at target but still finding there's still struggles. She still goes to group And she's joining an online virtual group at the moment. But find the podcast really helpful. She just wants a little bit more guidance over the Slim for Life stuff. What else have I got? Danielle. Talking about you almost feel like you are failing if you have a gain, even though you're at target. And she wanted a podcast based on target members. She says she thinks this is the hardest journey. It's almost like the train has stopped and you're wondering where to go when everything is focused on weight loss. And then Sarah dropped us a message saying sometimes she struggles and she feels selfish for saying anything because she thinks other people who are part of the group need more support from the consultant. So lots of different things here, and then some other people you know, who are dropping us a message, like Judith and the Last Stone to Target. Big Bearded Cub is saying he is just over a stone to target now. I've got what, 8.5 pounds to go. What are we waiting? What is going to get there when we get to this mythical place? Is it going to be gold and unlimited chocolate and unicorn?
It's going to be a unicorn covered in golden chocolate. That's what it's going to be. I think that's the most interesting point that I think so many people make. What's this amazing thing I'm waiting to happen? Like, is it going to be fireworks? Is it going to be like, I don't know, people swinging from chandeliers? And am I going to be able to go back to drinking 14 bottles of wine a week and maintain this weight loss? I think the real sad realization, but the exciting one at the same time, is nothing's really going to change. You're just going to be living your amazing new life, slimmer and healthier, within the absolute freedom of food optimizing, plus a little bit of kind of bonus added extras. But I think the mistake I made when I got to Target and lost 4.5 stone was I was like, oh, well, it's fine because I'm thin now. And that means I can just go back to eating what I wanted to eat. And I hadn't made that mental shift that actually, if I want to stay this slim person, I have to stay in the healthy eating lifestyle that I'm accustomed to. And you said something in group earlier that when you're in that diet mode, your head hasn't flicked yet to this is a lifestyle and you're waiting for it to end, aren't you? And I think that's where a lot of new target members maybe come a little bit unstuck, is because it's like this. The way I think about it is, you know, when you, if anybody learned to drive out there, when you first drive off in your car on your own, you somehow think that like you're never going to have all the things you had in your driving lessons and driving is going to be so simple. And then you realize I've got to do a 3-point turn or a parallel park. It's the same thing, but your stabilizers have almost been taken off. And I think there's a real adjustment period when you become a target member. And I think it's allowing yourself that adjustment period as well, and allowing yourself to bed in as a new slimmer kind of person. Because like we've said often in this podcast, it can take a while for your mind to catch up with your body, can't it?
So, I mean, I've had a look at the Slim for Life book, although I haven't reached target. There is a copy on the interest table that you had, actually. This is several months ago, and I sat whilst I was waiting for group to start and read through that. So I'll talk about that in a second. But the thing I always find interesting, and I guess you get a bigger picture on this, is how do people know that the target that they're chasing is the right target for
really
them in the first place?
Yes.
Because like we've talked before about how often when you start out, it's a bit of a mythical number. Like, you know, when you've got quite a lot of weight to think, you think, I just need to get started. I can't think about the end just yet. And then you kind of fixate on a number. And we often talk here, don't we, about ignore the numbers and look
at
the habits.
I think to me, the people I see that are the most successful at target, and this may be just what I see and from my own personal experience, is when you set a target that feels right. So for example, you may come in and say that your target is 10 stone 7, but you get to 11 stone 1 and you feel brilliant, you feel happy, you feel brilliant in your jeans, you feel like you've made the lifestyle changes that are maintainable, is that a word, you know what I mean? Yeah, that you can stick to, and you're done and you're happy. And actually 10 stone 7 is neither here nor there, because actually where you're at is absolutely fine. you have other members who go, I've got to get to this number, because if I don't get to this number, I'm not successful. I haven't hit that point that I said I was going to hit. And actually, they're not happy until they get to that target number, because that weight represents something bigger. And for me, I find a lot of people set a weight from when they were much younger. So a lot of women seem to set this weight when they were like 21. Like 21 represents something really special or something. I don't know what it is. But I think it's very personal, knowing when you're cooked. Like, you're not ready to set target, Claire, because you still are not quite in your happy place. And you will know, it might not be that number that you get to, but your head isn't ready to give up the battle yet. And it may be that in 6 months, if it hasn't changed, you go, right, I'm cooked, I'm going to stay here. But what I find is, when you've still got that bit of drive that wants you to lose more weight, you're not ready to set your target. Does that make sense?
But how do you know that it is really right? Because then sometimes I kind of think, I'm used to beating myself up. I'm used to saying, come on, you fat what's it, you've still got to lose weight, and oh, you shouldn't be eating chocolate, you should be restricting your sins, what are you doing? And I'm used to talking that way to myself. So how I feel like I kind of go around in circles to, am I a target? Am I happy? Wow, I feel really different. Gosh, I have lost a lot of weight. To
that point, you say, I feel really different. And I think that's where it lies. For a lot of people, we have like a stop or a few stops in our journey because we've lost so much weight. Like someone like you have lost so much weight that the difference is so, so huge, isn't it? You feel happy, you feel energized, you feel better about yourself, but you're still not quite there. And I think how you know you're still not quite there is because you don't feel like it's over. When you're at target, for me, when I hit target, it felt right. I knew that I didn't want to lose any more weight, that my jeans fitted the way I wanted them to fit, that I felt, you know what, the changes I've made, I don't want to make any more changes, because for me, the last bit of my target was really, really tough. And I've got another 11 pounds till I hit this new target, but I'm ready to give that fight. Whereas before I was like, do you know what? I've made all the changes I want to make. I don't want to have to add more speed food in or, kind of do more SP days to get there. So I think it's got to be a very personal thing that you know when it feels right. And you'll know that the moment you hit it.
I will never be happy.
But you think that, but you haven't hit target yet.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's an important thing to recognise as well. And this was one of the biggest changes that I had to understand in my weight loss journey. Being slim and being at target does not fix it. It doesn't get rid of that head that says you're a fat cow, Claire, and you've eaten too much chocolate. That isn't going to go because you've hit target. So they are two different things. And I think maybe when we confuse it, you know, that's when it gets a little bit tough. Because I remember being in my size 10 skinny jeans and thinking, wow, I thought I was going to feel really different than I do now. I thought I was going to feel like, I don't know, this new person, this new woman that could take on anything. Well, because the journey had been quite a, not a slow one, but a one that was over quite a long period of time, I'd made those adjustments. So there wasn't some big fireworks that come out. You know what I mean? And I think maybe that's what you're waiting for. You know, like love stories in the movies when the man comes running towards you on the platform of the train and sweeps you off his feet and he's handsome and he never has morning breath. I think sometimes we think like that about target and that's not what it is. do you know what I mean? A bit of a fairy tale.
I think about every corner of my life that way.
Maybe that's what we need to work on more than that. And I think, again, like, what you've got to recognise is the changes you have made are so massive, Claire. The weight you have lost, target is not going to feel that much different to how you feel now.
Yeah. And, you know, in that Slim for Life book, you know, we're not in this podcast going to get into the ins and the outs of the Slim for Life plan. You've got a consultant who can do that, or if you're an online member, they'll talk about that. There's three different routes, basically. But one of the things I thought was interesting in the book, it talked about my habits.
Yes.
And it talked about, you know, do you always do this? Rarely, never. And some of these habits, I kind of looked down this list and thought, actually, I do most of that. mostly or always. And they're really quite simple things, which I guess we can all be kind of working on a little bit of these as we go through the journey before we reach target. So, you know, I naturally control my healthy extra portions. I choose diet drinks rather than sugary ones. I know my tipping point with alcohol. I use sweetener instead of sugar. I make a basic meal plan and a shopping list every week. So I'm during the day I'm mindful of which foods to choose and which to limit or avoid. I mean, I know which ones are bad, and yeah, I know when I'm eating something bad. I'd like to add that point on there, but it's only a tick box. But some of this stuff, you know, I was like, yeah, actually, when you do this slowly, this stuff kind of falls in line without you realizing.
And that's a really crucial point you make, because what I find as a consultant is there's two ways of slimming. There's people who make those long-term, deep ingrained habit changes. So I would never, ever think to go and order a full-fat soft drink. I just wouldn't enter my mind. I wouldn't go and put sugar in my tea. I'd always get sweetener. I'd never buy a tin of tuna with oil in it. I'd buy it with spring water. But for a lot of people who've just come in and lost weight, they just cut things out and not tried to factor in the other ways. So that's why when they get to target, there's an abrupt change they think that they can make back to what they did before because they've just cut it out. So I think the checking points in here is to say, actually, have I made this a lifestyle or have I made this a deprivation diet that I've just cut everything out? And I think what I know of you, Claire, is you might not think that this is an absolute lifestyle, but it's really, really deeply ingrained within your mind now. It really is. The changes you've made, yeah, like I wouldn't think now, go to the supermarket and buy cereal that was like covered in sugar. I just wouldn't look at it because that's not something I do, because that's not something I know would fit in with the lifestyle I've got. I know if I'm going to have chocolate, it's a limited amount and it's calculated. Because that's an ingrained habit that we've made. And I think that's why we need to be really careful when we get to target. I always think that your weight loss journey is your training for life at target. And again, this is only my personal experience as a slimmer and the members that I've looked after. But I find the people that find it the easiest are the ones that have really experienced a lot in their journeys. Ones that have had losses, gains, maintains. Ones that have, you know, fallen off, so to speak, and then got back on it. People who have a journey like I had very much in the beginning, which was straight down the line, no gains. I think I had one maintain in my journey at that 4.5 stone. You get to target and you're like, God, am I meant to maintain this perfection for the rest of my life? When actually what keeping your weight loss off or being slim for life is about is navigating the kind of lumps and bumps and humps and car crashes that is life, and how you eat and you drink around them. So I think if you can adopt the approach, you know what, I'm not always going to be perfect, but I'm just going to absolutely try to keep up these beautiful habits that I've formed, like your healthy extras, knowing what they are, you know, like knowing actually, I know how I can enjoy my sins. When I'm at Target, I don't need to count them because I know that the chocolate I have is 10 sins and the glass of wine I have is 8 sins. So I know. And so it's not going to be all about getting into the minute detail, but it's just going to be about getting into that natural flow of making sure the habits that you created in your journey are staying with you.
Because there's also, well, I know. I say that because it's not easy. I'm not going to go, yes, Anna, yes, it absolutely is.
Because it's so blooming hard, Claire. Hard. It's so but hard.
The thing I thought that was interesting in the book as well, which it reminded me of the Be Delighted book, which anyone who's had a relatively new pack in the last year or two, they get, it's like the kind of book that maybe most people don't even notice is in their pack, but it's like a bluey greeny book.
Such a beautiful
Be Delighted. And it's so great because it goes over 6 weeks, and I like the way the Slim for Life does something similar, but it talks about on another page about emotions and, you know, me and my journaling and how much I love that. But I like the kind of things that it was thinking about, like what you're saying about, well, what have the challenges been as we've gone through to get to target in the first place? And how do we feel, and what kind of strategies have worked for us in the past?
Yeah.
So we kind of look at what we already know rather than constantly looking for new stuff.
There's no better way to protect your weight loss than knowing yourself as a slimmer. So knowing what triggers you, knowing where you're likely to sabotage, knowing where you may get a little bit of a wobble. Like, you may be brilliant at, you know, never going over your healthy extras and they're always weighed and measured, but you may not be great with, say, the speed free food. So you know that that's something you need to work on. It may be that you like an alcoholic beverage, and actually that's the thing that you're going to have to work really hard on, to make sure that if your weight loss is going to be maintained, that you do limit the alcohol that you have. And I think the best realization I had is that there is no magic wand that is going to keep you slim. It takes hard work, it takes dedication, but it also takes knowledge. It takes knowledge of how to food optimize, but also knowledge of where potentially you may struggle, because the moment you know that is the moment you can create a plan for it.
Mm. Like, even things like, you know, it's kind of asking what were your toughest times and the things that you've learned from those times. And that's interesting, because you kind of look back at your current slimming journey. And some of us have done this multiple times, but I'm just looking at my current journey, almost like kind of a long tube, and maybe picking out two or three moments that really define that journey.
Yeah.
Where those eureka moments, or the really difficult times, or the week where I gained 9 pounds or 6 pounds or something, you know, those kind of stick out on the graph when I look at my graph on the weight loss planner tool thing online. But then also, like, the stuff that people have said to you throughout the journey, and the nicest things that you've realised about yourself, I thought was really interesting, because we don't, it's easy with group and with weighing, I suppose, to just think week by week. We don't often think long term. And how, when, if you are someone who's quite vocal in group, I find it interesting that other people are watching you from afar too, who may be a little bit further behind you. So if you are someone in that final race to target or at target, it's amazing how we can be influencing people who are much nearer the start of that journey without even realizing.
Oh, hugely. I think never, ever underestimate the power of seeing someone who's doing it, done it, about to achieve it. That motivates you to believe that you can be successful, and that motivates you to believe that it can happen, because actually I'm watching Claire, or I'm watching Emma or Katie, that, you know what, she's got the same genes as me, and she's done it, or, you know, she went to the, did the same degree as me, or she shops in the same shops as me. It's giving them something really relatable to. And I think it's such a lovely thing to watch how I've got a girl in my group, and she's just lost 5 stone, and you know what, people message me about her all the time and say she is so inspiring because she's so real, because of what she shares really makes me believe that I can do it, because she still eats chocolate and she still, you know, eats cake or whatever, and still goes out and has Jaeger bombs. So I think it's a really lovely thing to watch how people in groups progress at different times and how the impact that you might have on them. Another thing I think to really recognise though on your journey is prepping yourself for your kind of hitting target. So I would always be looking, as a consultant, the people that are nearing target, and about 8 weeks before they hit their target, kind of getting them prepped for the Slim for Life book, so that they're ready, so that it's not some surprise on the day that you hit target that you're going to get this new Bible that's going to tell you something different. It's prepping you for actually, what's my weight loss been as an average? What do I maybe need to have a look at, or what do I need to play around with, or what am I feeling great about, so that you're ready for it when the day hits that you get that shiny sticker. Really, really is important to be prepping for it towards the end of your journey. I know you're prepping for it.
I feel like I've been prepping for it for a long time.
Yeah.
But then we obviously have a lot of consultants who listen to this podcast too. Ooh. And that's interesting that you say that, because, you know, we're hearing, like, from a couple of these guys who are sending us messages that sometimes they don't feel, as target members, able to kind of speak up and say, I'm struggling. How do you, as a consultant, kind of balance and kind of like interact with your target members? Like, what advice are you giving to kind of balance that out?
So image therapy is always going to be different for a target member, because with target you get a £3 kind of levy either way. And for a target member, I would always be looking, are they talking to me in group when they first hit target? about anything they're struggling with. So I'm getting alarm bells if someone comes in and they've gained weight in their first week of hitting Target, or I'm getting alarm bells if they feel like they've not even picked up their Slim for Life book. So I'm always really looking at my new Target members and seeing what support they might need. But in image therapy, it's not going to be the same each week. I'm not going to be talking to them about what's ahead for next week. In the very beginning, when they first hit Target, yes, I may need to do that. But 6, 8, 10 months, 3 years down the line, that's not going to happen. However, if a Target member is having any struggle whatsoever, they need to just tell us. Because if you are a struggling member, you're a struggling member. You really, really are. And I think as a consultant, when you know, you're placed in a group, like I've got pretty big groups, I can have all these people to look at. And my Target members are the ones that I'm kind of going, you're okay, you know, you've weighed in, you're within your target zone. And if you're not telling me that you're not okay, it can be a really hard thing to judge. So I would just say the doors of communication are wide open. If you need help and support as a target member, talk to your consultant. The very first thing I would recommend is that you harness your Slim for Life book, because by doing that, you're less likely to struggle than if you don't. Does that make sense? Like, you'll spot it as it's happening. It's like when you're a new member doing a food diary, it shows you where you may be, you know, not following the plan 100% to begin with, or where you may need some work. This Slim for Life journal is almost like your new best friend on that first 3 months of Target. But yeah, shout for help. You're not meant to be perfect just because you've got to Target.
I suppose if we as members fill that in, then it kind of gives you a bit more evidence to sift through as a consultant and say, oh, maybe you need to think about this.
Yeah, or have you thought about page 31 and what it says on here? Have you looked at this part of the journal? Because the thing about this journal is it's so brilliantly constructed that depends where you are in your first 12 weeks and how far you've got into filling it out. And there'll be different parts of it that may be appropriate for you to look at. There'll be different parts that, you know, may be really important that you focus on. And I always find that a lot of people, when they get to Target, they think, so I know it. Oh, I don't need this book. It's all right. I won't look at it. And I would always be checking with my Target members how they're getting on with this journal. Have they kind of had a little look, like I would with a new member? Because I know when I joined many times, I didn't think I needed to read the food optimizing book because I'd had that new member talk and, you know, pasta was free, so I'd be fine. Whereas I think that there can be that tendency if you hit Target that I know it's fine, I've lost 4 stone, what else do I need to do? But this is so much bigger than the weight loss. You need to make that mind shift. And if your head hasn't caught up with your body, you may again have a tendency to struggle. And this is going to be your kind of first point to have a little look at and see, is it that, you know, I thought once I got to Target, I could have 300 extra sins a week? Or is it once I got to Target, I thought I didn't need to weigh my healthy extras? Or is it when I got to Target, I thought, oh, I don't need to do body magic anymore? You know, it may be something that this allows you to identify.
You know, one of the things that I genuinely found quite surprising, I suppose, I was a bit like, oh man, am I going to be like restricted to 15 sins a day forever? No. But when I actually kind of looked, and I think if I was to do it now, I guess I would be route A. So there's route A, route B, route C, depending on how much weight you've lost over the last 8 weeks. I think I'd be route A. And that for me meant I could have an extra healthy extra. And then for a couple of 3 days a week, I could have some extra sins. I looked at all the savvy sins that are kind of listed as part of the Slim for Life. And I looked at them and thought, I love some of these. I'm already eating these. They're things like my dried apricots, my dates, avocado, nuts, seeds. For a vegan, Target will be blooming brilliant.
I think a really great thing to look at as well with the roots, and again, if you're a Target member, you'll know what we're talking about, is that you fluctuate between them. So when this book first came out, I went and I tried each route for a week, and I found that some weeks I needed to move back to another route because actually I needed to give myself some more flexibility. Or actually what these routes made me realize is I'd lied to myself as a slimmer, and actually I wasn't that honest with myself, so I needed to go to route A, which was almost the more the closest to the food optimizing that we do already, if you like. So yeah, I think it's really exciting to know when you get to Target, you do have more flexibility. So the reason we call them savvy sins is because we know these sins are unlikely to trigger you. No one has, you know, eaten 4,000 sins worth of dried apricots that I've ever met. And so we know that you're in a safer zone. However, I'll let you into a secret, Claire, these sins don't have to be just used on savvy things. They could be used on something else. So, you know, if you wanted a bit of extra chocolate, you could have it. But this is just saying to you, do you know what? To maintain the weight loss you've got, you can do this and you will maintain your weight. So it's lovely. And I think it means, because I've done Target without Slim for Life. And what the plan was before Slim for Life was nowhere near as, well, it was amazing because it was food optimizing, but it didn't have as many of the nice little extras. So this is a really achievable thing, and you can absolutely live your Target life at this. You really, really can. You're gonna love it when you get there.
I know, and it's gonna have to, because now I'm doing the podcast, I feel like I'm being held accountable.
Oh, Claire, we both, how much, I've got 11 pounds, how much have you got?
8.5. So my 10-week challenge to Easter, albeit very distracting with what's going on in life, I lost a pound over those 10 weeks. Went up and down like a yo-yo, but, you know, every little pound counts, and I'm slowly getting there, and one day I will be at Target. It's like one of the affirmations that I write out, my positive affirmations. I will become a Slimming World Target member in 2020.
I think, though, the thing I know about a lot of people, and you may be included in this, is that there's a fear of getting there. I know there was for me, because actually, God, I've worked so blinking hard for this. Are there going to be fireworks? What's going to happen? Am I actually, you remember we bought our houses, Claire? We were like, oh my God, we bought houses. Like, we never thought it was going to happen. And actually, we're living in our beautiful houses now, and we're still pinching ourselves. And it's that fear for a lot of us of success and actually achieving our dream. So I remember I had a gorgeous Target member, and it took her, I think we had 5 attempts at Target, because she kept changing it because she just didn't believe she could achieve it. And I remember when she got there, she was like, finally, I've hit this mystical place. Oh, it's not that good, because I've been kind of here. And it was like she'd taken all the pressure off herself. And I think maybe what perhaps you're doing, and I've seen other people do, is the fear of not succeeding or not believing in yourself is almost holding you back from achieving that great dream.
Maybe. It feels like there's two different things here, isn't there? There's like the kind of the push to get to it, but then there's also my fear around, when I get to it, how will I stay there? Because I had the habit over, well, pretty much all of my adult life of yo-yoing. And I know how hard I'm working right now to lose the weight, and mostly just be very slow. So I guess my fear is, when I do get to this place, or as some people are telling us, that it can be tough to kind of stay there and maintain.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of said this episode as well, for people who are kind of on lockdown, perhaps what they really want to do, protecting their weight loss would be a bonus, I suppose, to come out of this, rather than, you know, losing lots of weight. Just be realistic and maintain. That I think my fear could be around, how exhausting is it going to be for me to be at Target? Will I ever be happy, and will I ever be able to just relax a little bit?
I think, and bearing in mind I've been at Target 10 different times, and in the last, since I had Daisy, I've been in the same weight for the last 2 years, up and down by about, well, I put a stone on during that first lot of chemo, but apart from that, 3 pounds. It's as hard as you want to make it. It's as tough as you want to make it. And for me, I don't overthink it. I just live my life food optimizing. And I know if I want to lose some more weight, I've got to step it up a gear. But maintaining, actually, you know how to maintain, Claire. You've done it for the last 10 weeks.
9 months.
Yeah. Exactly. And actually, it's knowing that when you get that label of being a Target member, it doesn't get harder if you carry on in the same vein. But I think the realization that we have to come to, and where a lot of people find it tough, is that this is what you're going to need to do. This isn't going to change. This is life now. Do you get me?
You know, Well, when I quit drinking, I thought because I'd quit drinking and I was eating really healthy and doing my exercise and being vegan, that nothing bad was ever going to happen to me. Like, life would be amazing, exactly like this unicorn and mystical thing. So it's almost like, because your target, like, you kind of think and put the pressure, added pressure on, that everything's going to be wonderful. But actually, health complications will still come, stress will come. So then it kind of comes back to looking at what we've learned and the kind of procedures and processes we've got in place to kind of know that when they do come, and they will in some way, that we're kind of ready for it.
Yes. And I think it's not expecting, because you've got to target that the switch is flicked and you're going to be fine forever. It's got to work. But I have to say, do you know what? 20 years into this run, it's just second nature now. You know, again, another driving analogy. I don't think about changing gear now when I'm driving. I just know I've got to change gear. Do you know what I mean? And actually, when you're at Target, it's like that. It's just something that's ingrained in you. And you know what? You have some blinking brilliant days, and then you have some other days that are tough. But you know, like a naturally slim person, how to balance those out a bit better. So I always think a warning sign in my head to myself and as a consultant is, when people haven't made those ingrained habit changes, they're more likely to struggle. So if you are having a struggle out there as a Target member, it's a really great thing to go back and maybe get your Slim for Life book out and look at, like that checklist, is it that I haven't changed those tiny things that could be stopping me? Is it because actually I now get ready meals where I used to cook fresh, and kind of identifying the tiny things that you've let slip in? Because it normally is a lot of little things that you put back in place that kind of get in your way, like, oh, I don't need to cook with one cow cooking spray anymore. I'll get the oil out, you know. So it's knowing that it doesn't have to be that you're sat bathing in a vat of chocolate. It could just be loads of little things as well that come in. Another thing to look at, and it focuses on it in the journal, is about body magic. We know that if you haven't integrated body magic into your weight loss journey, that once you get to Target, it's going to be so tough to maintain it. So that's a really important thing to look at. And I know for you, Claire, that's really stepped up a notch, hasn't it? Kind of last few months, really. And that will really help you to maintain your target.
Yeah, it's definitely helping me maintain at the moment.
Yeah,
that is for sure. Yeah.
And changing your metabolic rate and changing the way your body looks as well. And I think for a lot of people, you know, I've been talking about this a lot in the virtual groups, what the activity does for you as a slimmer psychologically, when you're being active, less likely to go and eat the things that raise your endorphins, like the chocolate, the sugar and all those type of things, because you're getting that from the activity.
Yeah, and you know, we are prescribed by the government, those who are not shielded, the opportunity to go outside and walk for 30 minutes. So, you know, I've been definitely making the most of that around my hills.
Yeah.
And it does help you feel a lot better. Yoga is something, like, both me and you have been doing that, haven't we? Yoga.
Who are we?
I don't know.
I know.
But it's nice to feel. I think you're right. When you start to kind of think, hey, I kind of like me. I like my body now. Then
yes.
If you do want to do nice things. And, you know, we talked on the episode a couple of weeks ago, the one about the C word. And we talked about how now is the time more than ever whilst we're locked down to kind of really look after ourselves and do well and, eat well and drink well and sleep well and enjoy our spaces. Yeah, absolutely. Pause.
Do you know what's really helped me? Because obviously I've got a lot of health conditions, and I thank my body almost now, because, you know, it's been going wrong for the last 10 years. But I think what I appreciate now as I've got older is this is the only one I'm getting. And actually, to look at the positives of it. Yeah, there are bits that wobble, there are bits that shake when they shouldn't, you know, toilet thighs and all of that shizzle. But actually celebrating the fact that my body has given me a baby. My body has actually been reconstructed and it still works. And yeah, you're right. You're not bad either. And actually you've got quite nice ankles. But do you know what I mean? Celebrating that type of bad when you have to commit to liking your ankles. But do you know what I mean? I think we're really bad at being negative, like going, well, actually, my boobs could be pursed or my arms could wobble less. And, you know, my husband's always talking about his tummy and his love handles. Like, actually celebrate these things and look at your body in a more positive light. You're more likely to engage with being this new version of you and want to kind of keep it up, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
No.
You sold me. You yeah. sold me.
You know, there's nothing like a good ankle. I've also got a nice knee too.
Just one?
Yeah, one's a bit dented. We won't talk about that.
Yeah. Well, this has been really helpful for me,
because we've
talked a lot, haven't we, about weight loss. But I think for many of us who are either on the weight loss journey or are getting closer, there is that kind of, yeah, that just that wonder of what happens next. And sometimes, if you're like me, I always like to know, well, what's the point? What am I aiming at here?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to just be kind of just doing things because I should
or
can. I want to know, what am I actually working towards? So it was really helpful. You know, I definitely would recommend you can have a look on the Slim for Life book when you go back to group.
Yeah.
Or I found it and you said it's in the members section, isn't it?
It's on the website. Yeah. This isn't some secret booklet. This is, and I think the thing to realise is this is its beautiful food optimising. And like I always say, free food is your friend and it's your biggest friend when you get to Target. And I think this is just really kind of explaining what you can expect, but how crucial the first 3 months of your slimming journey are, because they are the ones when you're forming again the new habits about maintaining the weight loss journey. So yeah, I'm excited for all these new Target members to go and experience the joys of the weight loss they've got, to celebrate what they've achieved and absolutely go and bask in that sunshine and glory of it. Because you've worked blinking hard to get that weight off. Do you know what I mean? You need that shiny sticker and that Slim for Life book and the fact that you're never going to pay to walk in the Slim and Well group again. Need that.
And actually, we do a Target member shout out as well on our listeners' questions, which is going to be next week. So do make sure, if you've reached Target recently, or just if you've reached Target, we're happy to hear. Send us send us a pic and send us a couple of lines on your story that we can hopefully read out and just shout about for you. And if, by the way, if people are looking for where that Slim for Life info is on the website, it took me a little while to find it, but it's under the tab when you go and log on Lifeline Online, Inspiration and Support, and directly underneath that it says Slim for Life Target area.
So interesting. It's definitely worth a read, especially as well these members that are approaching Target. And I know, because we're not in groups at the moment, go and kind of familiarize yourself with that, because it's going to be yours soon. It's so exciting, Target. Love it. I'd love a room full of Target members. That's my aim, is to get every single one of my members in my group for Target and have them all be in the room. I'd love that.
Wow. Crazy. Right. Well, we may as well wrap up, because this has been a very long episode.
Has it? This is what happens when we can't get out, Claire. I hope it's helped, you know, because we've had so many people request it, haven't we, that, you know, I think it, especially this time of year as well, because summer and Target and Pim's in the garden, I don't know, I think it's just, it all comes together.
Right, so if you've got any questions for us and you want to contact us, then do make sure you reach out in those two places that we always share, Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. And then you can also email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. And just a reminder, so today is Easter Saturday. We don't normally give time references, but we need to on this. Next Sunday, which I'm just going to check what the date is.
What date
actually
is that?
Sunday the 19th of April, we will be recording a live listeners' questions. So 100 people will be lucky enough to join us and watch us record next week's episode on Zoom, with the opportunity, if we can, for some of you to ask your questions. So do make sure the first 100 people who email us with the subject title live listeners' questions, you will get sent the link. Otherwise, drop us an email and an Insta with your usual questions in the usual way.
Yes, we can't wait for it. I love a good listener's question.
And we're pretty open about the content that we need to provide in the next few weeks. We've kind of cleared our ideas that we had, because we I'm not sure that it's all relevant now, really.
No.
So we'll just open the door. So let us know what you're thinking, what you're struggling with, and we can kind of factor that in our future production in coming weeks.
Totally. It's been lovely for you to join us today as well. Hope you've enjoyed it.
And it's been lovely to speak to you too, Anna.
Oh, I miss you. I can't wait to see you.
I can't wait for us to wear leopard print next week.
I'm thinking I'm going to get online now and see if I can find some leopard print pyjamas.
Oh, my life.
What? Oh, my God. Right, I'll message you if I find some.
Have a great week, everyone. Speak to you soon.